Hey everybody, I'm Angela Belt and welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. I want to thank everybody who's been so patient. It's one of those really funny things. I feel like I took the month of April off. My husband was like, we are going on vacation. I think in my mind, I didn't think things were going to be as crazy as they are. Having a newborn in the house and those months of lack of sleep and how much they ticked up on me. And then frankly, just having design work. So I am thankful, one, that you guys are here. You're back with me. We're listening. It's May. It's a new month. It is my birthday tomorrow. So this to me is like the best birthday gift to myself, just getting back on the mic, having you guys listen to this great new episode with Albie. From you guys who know her well on Instagram, Albie knows. I'm really excited to talk to her today for many reasons. We actually recorded this episode in March, just letting you guys know, full disclosure when you're listening, but I really wanted to talk to Albie for a lot of reasons. She is a 28 Black tastemaker. I have really enjoyed her efforts just to continue to bring more people of color into the design community, challenging the design community, getting more exposure out there. And I feel like she's been doing a ton of things online, and now she's really taking it to the next level with the Meridian Conference, which Albie is leading. It is next month. It is a 4-day in-person event in Washington State. You are going to want to be a part of it. And we are going to talk about, Albie's going to get into all of the details of how you can buy tickets, which ticket sales actually end the end of this week. So there is some pressure when you're listening to decide if whether or not you're going to act or not. There is also always the option if you can't make it to donate. So I'll have links to all of this on my site. But really great interview. Really happy that I was able to get Albie on and to promote this as much as possible. You guys know, if there's somebody who's doing it out there, and I'm excited about the story, I'm going to probably email you pretty quickly and say, hey, do you want to come on the show? Because I really want to amplify your message and get it out there. And I hope that's what I was able to do with this interview today. Good afternoon, Albie. Welcome to the Mood Board Podcast. I am very excited to have you on the show. There are so many things I want to talk to you about, and I just have to keep reminding myself. I want to keep it to 30 minutes. I like to keep it to 5 questions. So we're going to try our best to cover as much as we can, but I'm super excited to have you here today.
I'm excited too. As someone who's listened to the show, I'm honored to now be on the other side of it. So I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for listening. So for first time listeners, for those of you who don't know Albie, you're probably living under a rock at this point, or you're not on social media, but you need to get on social media then. But I feel like Albie, you are someone who is always out there looking at what is going on in the community, what is going on in the interior design community, what is going on with people of color, how can I make it better? How can I make it stronger? And I know you describe yourself as a designpreneur. How do you put all that together? Like, define your definition of a designpreneur.
Essentially, for me, it just means I can't be put in one particular design lane. For years, when we thought about design, you were either an interior designer, maybe a decorator, and that was it. That was the only way it was really recognized. Whereas now you can be seen doing so many different things underneath that umbrella. And so that for me is what a designpreneur is. And as someone who's touched on, writing a book, launching a subscription box, podcasting, content creation, e-design services, I feel like it still has that single thread of design and obviously entrepreneurship, because I'm not doing it for a business. And so for me, that's really what it means. It's can't put baby in a corner.
Never. I remember seeing that movie when I was like 4 or 5.
Same.
But I loved
it. I shouldn't know that line from when I know it. And yet,
but it was so memorable. I was like, that's it. That's me.
Yep. So to me, that's what being a designpreneur is, not being in one corner of
Absolutely.
Design.
So one of the other things I want to talk about is you started out, you were saying one of the roles you had, one, you went to school for marketing and business. Am I getting that correct?
Yes. Well, actually, when I went, it was in the architecture program. Mm. And my second year, I chose an elective introduction to public relations and then switched to marketing. And so I actually went for architecture. And that's just not how it was meant to turn out for me.
That's all right. I went for political science, came out fine arts. It's
and here
the whole thing, you know, it's a fun exercise on what you're not going to do.
Well said. I like that. Write that down.
So I want to talk about how you took the leap from visual merchandising and fashion to content creation and home space. Like, where did that all come together?
So for me, it was really natural. You know, ultimately it comes down to I'm working with spaces. I'm decoding these spaces. That's how I've always looked at it. Mm. As a merchandiser, it was just retail. So it was fixtures and clothing and mannequins. And interior design is just furniture, someone's life story. It's still a story nonetheless. Yeah. And I made that implicit decision to switch actually around the time where, one, I needed to slow down. Mm. I was feeling burnt out in general by retail. And keeping in mind that I went to school for architecture, that's because I didn't know interior design was a thing.
Yeah.
And that's when I was realizing, like, there are other ways I can work with spaces that aren't just architecture, that isn't just merchandising. And I had also just had my daughter. We had just gotten married. Mm-hmm. We still lived in New York City in our studio. And I was working on making this space work for the three of us. And that's when I realized, oh, this is a thing that people do in real life in a career. And so it was a really seamless transition for me in that I kept merchandising. I left apparel and actually went to merchandising for furniture stores. Mm-hmm. And then doing that made me realize, nope, this is exactly, you know, the fit for at least that season of life that I was in. And so it happened pretty seamlessly.
Now I must ask, which furniture store did you do visual merchandising for?
Room and Board.
Oh, so this is weird, Albie, because we must have connected before, because so I did visual merchandising for Room and Board, but for 10 years. And I don't know how our paths never crossed. Like, how is that possible? I don't know.
I was at the New York City store. And so, I could actually answer how our paths never crossed. I got hired. And then I want to say 2 weeks later is when I found out I was pregnant.
No.
And so I spent most of the time in a back room. And then I went on maternity leave. So that could also be. I want to say most of my time, about a year, pregnant.
Did you work with Darrell Lewis?
That name does not sound familiar. Was he at the New York City location?
He was, but then there's other people, like there's Lynn. Did you work with Lynn at all?
Tall, blonde.
Yes.
Yes, I'm seeing the face and I feel like that was Lynn. We worked together temporarily, so she did a lot of like the store openings.
Yeah, and I did store openings too, yeah.
Yeah. So she was part of like the team that opened the Chelsea store that I ended up working at.
So weird. So, okay.
And spent most of the time in an office though.
Albie, that's so weird and crazy. And there's that connection.
It is such a small world.
It is a small world. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Yeah.
It's that experience that really made me tap into interior design, because then, as you know, with Room and Board, you know, the associates, you know, just even just being on the floor, you're working with Icovia and you're working with the fabrics and all the stuff. And that was my first taste of real interior design for a client, just being in that space, in that environment. And I was like, okay.
It's so weird even hearing the words Icovia, because I'm like, oh, that like sends me so far back. Because like, I was there before we even did Icovia, and we had to draft everything hand. And then it was like a big argument of like, Icovia's coming in, and like, it was great. But it was like, it took years for us to get anything on a computer. But I agree. I mean, to me, that company, for so many reasons, is like an amazing boot camp into interior design and clients and all of the layers.
I learned a lot about fabrics and textiles. And so, yeah, that was definitely, in hindsight, I don't know why I went back to school. I could have just learned everything I needed to learn right there.
I get it though. I totally get it. So this explains our energy. I get it.
small world. You never know who's in your orbit.
So let's talk about, before we get to the Meridian Conference, because I really want to get a lot of questions out for listeners about this. But I did want to talk about your book that's called, you know, Curate the Home You're In, Effortlessly Create Your Everyday Dreamscape. What made you want to create this book?
So for starters, just working with clients, as well as just speaking to like friends, I realized a lot of times, which I'm sure is something you've probably heard people say, I can't do this because I have kids, or I have pets, or I rent, or it's not big enough. Like just kind of all these excuses. And at the time I was blogging, not to the extent that I am now, I want to say, but definitely blogging, long blog posts, long captions, addressing these concerns. Like you can have a home and a space that you love, and it doesn't have to be this ideal time set by, I don't even know where these measures came from. And so I decided that a book was really the best way for me to get all of these words out because a blog post would not capture it all. Yeah. And I chose to self-publish it because agencies and publishing houses, they're not checking for someone like me.
No. You know?
And this is also 3 years ago at this point, 4 years ago. So my following was a tenth of what it is now. So they definitely weren't checking. They're not checking now.
There's still such a small thing of interior design books for people of color. I mean, it's like a little slither.
There's the best way to put it. And so, but I knew I wanted to get these words out into the world. I knew that it could be helpful to someone to just feel like I can do with what I have now. And that's okay. I wanted to give people permission to just love their homes. And it didn't have to be this big production. So I wrote it and I did the research on how to self-publish, and out into the world it went.
I love it. And so I'll have this in the shoppable mood board, but you know, it is available on Amazon, a few other places as well, but
it needs to be restocked on Amazon actually. So it's always available on Barnes and Noble because that's actually my publisher.
All right. And that's where I'll put the link as well. So I want to get into like the meat of our interview. So I know you describe yourself as an idea generator. You have done some amazing online initiatives with hashtag share the mic, you know, where this is where Albi brought together 100 different designers, entrepreneurs, everybody really under the interior design space. And correct me if I'm saying any of this wrong,
but really
swapping each other online, getting to know different followers, also really getting to know from a platform if you're white, getting to see Black people getting to see white people, but really being a great way for people to not only generate new followers, but also just to share your story, which I haven't seen done as a social media campaign before, which is very interesting.
I adapted it from one that was substantially larger. So the original one included, you know, people like Hillary Clinton. Yeah. And Presoma St. John. And so that one was on like a whole other playing field. And I just felt like our industry needed that just to start to disrupt things in a way that needed to be disrupted. Because a lot of what I was seeing at that time, which I'm sure you remember, were the Black boxes. And I was like, there has to be a way to humanize this Black box movement. Like, what does it mean at the end of the day? And so I felt like that was a great way to take it to the next step for designers and design brands who were saying, how can I help or what can I do?
Yeah. And do you feel like, Albi, for listeners, do you feel like you want to do it again? Or do you feel like you're
moving? I will not do it again. So I can answer that straight away. It's immediately no for me. However,
on to new things.
And it's more so it did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And for me, from there, it's not just sharing the mic, now it's passing the mic. For me, now the onus is on people to continue it in whatever way that makes the most sense. So for you, sharing the mic is hosting a podcast. You give a platform and create a space for other people. You know, and that was something when I decided to wrap it, I did say, like, I encourage people to hopefully continue the objective of this, which is to make space for those who don't necessarily get to take up space. So I will never do it again, at least not in that way.
Yeah.
You know, the conference is an iteration of it.
Yes.
However, that initiative won't be happening by me. Like,
you're like, one done. But also, I agree, passing the mic. And then the other one before we get to the conference was also the Haig Ranch, which is your kitchen renovation, I believe, correct?
So it's the whole home. Okay. And it's the Hooga Ranch.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And yeah, so it's the entire home, although I am still very traumatized by the kitchen renovation.
Why?
So
it
was a lot. It was so much as a homeowner and as a creator.
Yeah.
And looking back, there's just a lot I should have done differently. I learned a lot, however. And so, you know, you live to learn. And that for me was really much like what my book was built on, taking people along on this journey of making a house a home with whatever you've got, wherever you're at, regardless of the family dynamic, the finances. There are things that can be done to make it yours. And I subscribe to a very Hooga-inspired design ethos, mm-hmm. which is cozy and warm and inviting. However, I like to add luxury mm-hmm. to that. I mm-hmm. like to make it feel elevated. So something as simple, the kitchen, for example, my poles, I chose to do hardware that was leather and brass as opposed to just, you know, poles,
for example.
So that's been the journey of just our first home. We do have renovations that will be resuming soon. I just need to recover from the kitchen.
I know. So
it's a lot.
I will say, and this is another parallel for both of us. So I just did my first house and our home tour comes out with Better Homes and Gardens next month.
Yes.
And it's just a crazy process. I mean, you know it when you're trying to do it and then you're doing it with the PR cap on for all of your sponsors. It's a very different way for your family to live in your house.
Yes. And that was the challenge because you're up against, you know, obviously the typical stuff of construction. However, then there's also, you know, deliverables and deadlines and all this other stuff on the other side. Did I capture this photo? Oh no, I forgot. I can't take the tile off and it's a lot.
It is. We'll say that. Yeah. There's certain things you're like, I don't know if we got video of that. It's up. And we're going to mark it out. We're going to write it and we're going to keep it moving. But yes, it is a lot. I think it's funny because I think when you first start it, you're like, it's fine. And then you get like through it and you're like, okay, all of these deliverables and you're living in it and you have to set it up and stage it. It's a marathon.
You don't just get to renovate like a homeowner and that's it when it's done and seen, you know.
No, you're like, now I got to get to work.
That's really when the new work begins. So, however, I plan on kind of bringing people along for that journey of everything that's accomplished so far before starting again this year.
I totally get it. Yeah. We just had someone come right now because we basically have an office upstairs, which we love, but now it needs to become a nursery. And so now we have a sunroom that needs to get renovated. And so now I'm going through all of the heart palpitations of what are we going to do to get the sunroom done. So I'm like you.
One thing always affects the next one. It's never just I'm gonna tackle this. It's always this and then some.
Yeah, and I'm like, I gotta think a bit. I don't know. I would enjoy the summer a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm still recovering and the reveal was in July. So take your time.
No rush. Let's get to the thing I really am excited to talk about, which is really, I feel like you taking everything that you've worked on, everything that we were talking about in this conversation to the next level with is your Meridian experience. So let's share with listeners, what is this conference about? Timeline, all that jazz.
I mean, you nailed it. It really is the culmination of everything that I have touched, I want to say, in the past 6 years, behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. So it's a 4-day in-person retreat style conference. It's going to be here in Washington State. And it is for interior design influencers, home creators. So that intersection of design and influencer marketing, really just to bridge that gap. So for me, it was really important to tap into this void of one, just business models. We live in an age where everyone is an influencer. Whether they call themselves that or not, we're showing up on social media, we're writing blogs, we're working with brands, in addition to having client work. You know, we have podcasts, we have books, we have all these channels of ways to create content. And yet when it comes to the support and the education for it, it exists broadly for creatives. However, I was finding that in the design space, it did not exist. And then you add that additional layer of it not existing for marginalized communities within the design community. And so you look at the events that do exist, and they're very homogenous, or they're very traditional in terms of like the business model, you know, so they're trade events, for example. And so it's like, well, what happens to the rest of us who aren't doing it like everyone else? What happens to the designpreneur? And so I really wanted to create that kind of event, while also realizing that we are whole people who have hearts and spirits that also need to be fed. And I looked at a lot of outside events, outside industries, other entrepreneurs, six, seven figure entrepreneurs. I'm like, where do they go? Like, how do they get poured into? And how can I create that at a scale that is achievable and also digestible? And so that's what Meridian is. It was really important for me to make it in person. And this is coming from someone who doesn't leave the house. However, I can say we are all starved for connection and that energy of being around your peers, and also having access to people normally would not have access to. And so I tapped into my same networks from Share the Mic. I really went back and looked at all the frustrations. People like to tell me things. And so all of those conversations that I've had with peers and what frustrated them about learning and events and the industry, I went back through all of that. And that's how I crafted this. And it's going to be the second week of June. So June 8th to June 11th, like I said, here in Washington. And there's going to be learning, but there's also going to be wellness. And the plan is to come back year after year and hopefully really just set a new precedent.
I love it. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what are some of the workshops, presenters, and dinner events that are actually on the menu for this 4-day event?
So I'm really excited because it's primarily workshop format. Workshops, panels, dinners. I wanted to stay away from like keynotes where it's just somewhat a talking head on a stage. And so the workshops are really about taking action. So there's going to be one with Rashida Banks and Ashley Bassnight on pitching. If you follow even just one of those ladies, then you know that they have receipts on receipts on receipts when it comes to the caliber of brands that they work with. And so they're going to be leading a workshop all about pitching and making money from pitching. There's going to be a video lab with Demetrius Robinson, who you know, and Nadia Casanova. They do really great video, whether it's Reels or YouTube. And so tangible strategies, because video is the thing right now. However, there's also going to be a photo lab because we are designers. Photography is extremely important. And so I have Joanna McBride of JoJotastic and Sarah Tramp. One's a photographer, one's a content creator. However, they do photo very well. So they're leading labs. So the workshops are things like that, where it's not just theory. Someone's going to be teaching you. And then they are followed up with co-working sessions where you can actually get to work with your peers, peek over each other's shoulder, like, oh, okay. Like, and really actually do it. Because I think we've all been there where we take notes somewhere and then we go home and our kids need us. Or
right. You're like, yeah, exactly.
And that notebook never gets touched again. And then the panels are sit-down conversations, but really experience-based. So Emily Henderson's design team, sitting down with Carmion Hamilton and Orlando Soria, talking about that balance of privacy and public life. And then, so that those are the kind of panels that are really going to be happening where you can learn from it, but from an anecdotal place. And then the mentor dinners are premium add-ons. So thinking about, again, what I said earlier, access to people we otherwise might not have access to. So your DePietos and your Emily Hendersons and your Camions, they're going to be speaking. And then there are also separate offsite dinners where you can really pick their brain, break bread with them. Nothing's off the table when it comes to just asking. And sometimes you really never know. Just even we're having this conversation and we've learned so much more about each other. You never know what can come out of a casual conversation versus if I just told that person, oh, sit on stage and talk.
No, you're so right.
Because I have spoken to people and without them realizing it, they've inspired and taught me just in the conversation. Something they said kind of, you know, triggered something. So those are the key formats. And then, like I said, there's going to be co-working sessions throughout, so people can actually get to work. And then there's going to be some wellness sessions because we have to have fun. Like it's, you can't just plow people with information. So our welcome dinner is an all white welcome dinner because who doesn't love an all white anything? I mean,
I like a white party. Just,
who doesn't? I have yet to meet someone who's like, ooh. The biggest struggle is just what to wear. That's the biggest struggle. But once you get past that, we're all good. And then there's going to be a Zumba session to kind of like really dance up the nerves and have a good
time. Are you going to have David lead it? Is David qualified? I was about to say, I'm like, if you're doing Zumba, it has to be David.
And so it's crazy because so him and I are also having a fireside chat about being a multi-hyphenated person. Yes. And this is him showing one of those many hyphenated.
I know. David does. I mean, again, not just like, but yeah, David's got the jewelry, the Zumba. The interior design bracket.
His jewelry. I bought jewelry from him and I was like, oh, wait, you also. Oh, and you also.
It's true. It's true.
So I wanted people to feel like they were, yes, growing professionally, but also personally. You're spending anywhere from 3 to 4 days, depending on how long someone chooses to come, with 100 to 150 of either people who are your peers or people you admire or that you've just never met.
Yeah.
And I wanted everyone to, by the end of it, feel like they just left a retreat and a family reunion. And they can go back and not just shove that notebook on a shelf, but feel activated. Like, okay, so what do I do next? Like, where do we go
right.
from here?
Right.
As opposed to, well, that was a good time. I don't really remember what happened. It was fun. I want people to really have it stick with them. So much so that they don't necessarily need to come back.
Yeah, they have the tools. They've
graduated to whatever their next level might have looked like.
I love it. So before we get to our interior design game, I just want to know, you know, what's the best way for listeners if they're deciding, like, hey, I think I want to attend, how do they buy tickets? And if it's just not in their place right now, how can they donate? Like, I know that you have your post-it wall. How can people give?
And you're on it.
I'm on that wall. I was like, oh, okay, I'm up too late every night nursing anyway, so I was like, oh, well, I'm gonna do this.
Thank you. So everything can actually be done on the website meweekend.com, just meweekend.com. And so for someone who's like, well, this isn't for me, they're not in the design space, or they just know it doesn't align with their objectives or whatever the case is, they can absolutely donate through the same website. The donate link is right at the top. The post-it wall is actually an idea I adapted from, she's a marketing coach, I believe. And every time someone would join her mastermind, she gave them a post-it. And I remember thinking, one day I'm going to do that. I don't know with what.
I'm getting that post-it wall.
And so now I do. So every donation and the post-its form a heart. It's everyone's name is on that. And I call it my, you know, my post-it wall. It's my angel investors, because starting this brand new from scratch, I don't have any VC support or, you know, major backers. So it's coming from ticket sales. It's coming from crowdfunding, you know, working with brand partners, and then whatever's left is Albie knows is funding.
Yeah.
And that's that. So definitely people can support that way. And then for those who are like, this sounds like something I need to be at this summer, same website, the tickets are on sale right there. The full itinerary is there with descriptions. The list of speakers and mentors is all on there. the city. You can learn more about the city because I do want people to enjoy coming to the West Coast, since most people, at least I found, were like, oh, I've never even been to Washington. So yay. There's some information there about what you can do while here. And there are still tickets available. The closest tickets we have to that are near selling out are all access tickets. And so those are the ones that literally unlock everything, the mentor dinners, as well as our photo lifestyle sessions, essentially getting headshots kind of taken. Those tickets are the ones that are nearly sold out. However, there's still a few left over if people want to get them. And it is limited availability, though, because it was really important to me that the entire event was intimate. I didn't want hundreds of people in a room. And sales and first week of May.
Okay. When is that deadline? Okay.
Now we're rolling into April. I would say get them sooner rather than later, for sure.
Don't wait.
Especially just, I think now, where people are for sure feeling more comfortable getting on a plane again, getting out again, wanting to be around other people. Yeah, I wouldn't.
I love it. I hope you all are listening.
I want to buy TikTok. My own ticket.
TikTok.
I can't believe it's almost April. So yeah, there's about a month left.
It's a lot. So we're going to switch gears.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to the interior design game. So I feel like Albie won because I looked at I was showing my husband not long ago what you had done with your refrigerator. And I was like, yo, Albie has it down to the milk containers being swapped out. I'm like, it's a whole another level of organization.
So it's my therapy.
I was like, dang. Yeah, I was like, I don't know. Do I want to do it? I don't know. I got to think about it.
It's a commitment.
Now I would love it. Again, it would be my family living with me and the crazy of me. So I got to marinate on it, but I love what you did. I thought we should talk about 5 must try storage and organizing trends right now. This is with Better Homes and Gardens. And I wanted to get your thoughts on them. If you're with them, if you're like, you know what, even take it to the next level. I wanted to get your ideas. So the first one is really that style forward storage. I think everybody's been doing something with storage. They're always somewhere, but it's kind of like, I think honestly investing, putting in a little bit more money to get the quality. How do you feel about that? Do you love it or hate it, and why?
I mean, I love it because in general, storage shouldn't mean sacrificing style. But yes, it is an investment. It's something where you also have to think, am I going to be using this? Is it going to serve me? Not just today, this particular moment where I'm into this thing, going forward. So even like thinking about my milk containers, I got them because they're stylish, let's be honest. However, I also have to be mindful of, okay, the creamers and milks that I buy, what sizes do they come in?
Yeah.
This is going to be too small for my milk. It can hold my creamers just fine though. So I, to me, that's not even the trend. That should just be the standard. Mm-hmm. Thinking about it in a way that's stylistic, that fits the lifestyle. And yes, it's gonna cost money. It's an investment. So yes, it's a love it. So.
The next one is outdoor inspiration. I think we're all looking for, you know, how can we bring that feeling of the outdoors inside? Since like you said, you're not going mostly anywhere. How do you feel about this?
So I believe in it both ways. For me, it's a duality of bringing the inside out and the outside in. Mm. Like, how can I connect both, especially as someone who don't go nowhere? And, you know, we were fortunate enough to purchase a home that had great interior and exterior spaces. Mm. And so that made it even more important to me. And just being Huga inspired, that connection to nature is really something that I feel like all design needs. So again, I don't know if that's something that should be a trend, more so it should just be the way.
This is the way.
this is
the and it could be just as simple as investing in quality window treatments, you know, to make sure you can get that light in, getting some plants in. And this is from someone who does not have a green thumb. Half of them are dead. However, they, so I throw some fake ones in the mix, and you know, so I feel like that should just be the standard, not a trend. Let's just, new rule, bring more of the outside in while also bringing the inside out. Making that connection. Yes.
Next one. I wish you guys could see it. She just did the bomb symbol. This we got to make these video, because that's what keeps happening. I'm like, you're not seeing it, but it was great. The next one is that entertainment ready organization. Like, I feel like I'm itching towards getting people, even if we're doing outside, maybe not coming in my house, but we're going to entertain. How are you feeling about that type of organization in your home?
I mean, as someone who does not host people.
Like,
however, yes, it is necessary, because even if you're not hosting people, you have families, you know, and not every day is the hustle and bustle. But yes, it is something that I think we are going to see more of for sure, though, because people are reconnecting with their friends and their families. And I did notice that there was a surge in how people value homes more. Like, people are having brunch at home more than they are at restaurants. I don't have numbers. I'm just going based on anecdotes. You know, but it's seeming like more people are like, let's have dinner at home, brunch at home. Let's have people over. And so, yes, I do see that there's definitely going to be an increase in making sure that everything is ready for company. However, it can be stored away when there is no company. Yeah. And it's something I will be curious to see, especially now going into these warmer months, because that ties back into the outdoor part as well.
Yeah, that's
like amazing. I've been following Shavonda Gardner's her pool.
Oh, me too.
And just seeing like all of those little layers of addition. Someone like that, her storage is going to, I feel like, be high key part of how she continues to develop that outdoor space.
I was watching all the grass that they were bringing in. I was like, stop it. Stop it.
Best TV on my phone at the moment.
I'm very excited by it.
Someone needs to call a producer and get this on my actual TV.
I agree. Like, why are we looking at it here? I want it here. I want it here.
Whoever's listening, whoever you know, call Siobhan to make it happen.
The next one is easy access storage. So like, just even thinking like when we go underneath our cabinets, like something that pulls out, you know, just trying to not struggle so much.
I am all about that. And I know it's a trend I love. I know it is something that is going to take over. I think gone are the days of stationary shelves and things like that. I know for me, when I did my kitchen renovation, in the entire kitchen, there are maybe four shelves that don't move. Everything is pulled out of the shelves. Everything comes to me. And for one, I did it that way just because it's easier for me. I also have a daughter. A lot of stuff can become self-serving for her, where she can have that autonomy where we don't have to also just worry about her safety. And even I had my mom here last summer. My mom is in her 70s. And she was like, oh, this is much better for my back. Like, when she needed to reach something in the back of the cabinet. And it's such a better use of the space. You're getting every square inch. Sometimes you put something on a shelf or in a high cabinet and it goes there to die. You completely forget about it. And so I think more vendors are seeing that, because the fact that I was able to create that, I didn't customize really anything.
That's interesting.
In my kitchen, that was just a design option that I had. So I think we're going to see more of that, which I feel like is a result of so many of us having been home, realizing where the deficiencies were in our homes, and now companies are like, okay, maybe we move the goalpost and make this the new standard versus the way we've been doing it. So I see more of that. I see less of it having to be custom and more of it becoming standard.
So then the last one is really the sustainable solutions with all of this storage. How are you doing that? Do you love it, hate it? Have you been trying it out?
So for me, I will say I love it. It's something for me that I try not to overcomplicate personally, because it is a lifestyle shift, sustainability. So I just try to find the simple ways that I can incorporate it into the life that I'm already living. However, I think as over time, sustainability definitely in all facets has become more of a forefront topic. And so I think over time it'll become less of a challenge. I'm here for it. I'm here for anything that keeps Mother Nature from hating us. Whatever can keep her happy, because she has been really peeved for
real
the past
turned up
couple of years. She is not with it.
She's shaking us off.
She is so sick of us. And so anything that we can do to get back in her good graces, I'm here for it. I do think it is a constant education. Like I said, for us, it is not an easy shift. So I try to incorporate ways, and companies like The Container Store have made it a little bit easier. They've made those solutions a little bit more accessible. And I think other companies are doing the work as well. So that's not such a jarring shift into sustainable measures. So I give it like another 5 years before it becomes easier and it becomes the new norm. So I'm here for it.
All right. Well, Albie, that is our interview. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show. I'm so happy to have you on here.
I'm glad to be here. Like I said, just being on the other side of it now, I am honored. This was fun. I had a good time.
Hey, well, I hope you really enjoyed that conversation I had with Albie. There'll be plenty to look at on the Shoppable Mood Board at angelabelt.com/themoodboardpodcast. I'll have links to the Meridian Experience, how you can buy tickets. If you can't make it, how you can donate. We'll also have other things talking about her book. And of course, a link to those milk cartons that Albie so beautifully styled in her own refrigerator that I know many of you are going to want to take home for yourself. Secondly, I want to remind everybody, my home tour with Better Homes and Gardens is finally live. I know I've been talking about it for many, many, many months on this podcast. It is in the May issue on newsstands now. I want to thank people who have just been sending me screenshots, like from Texas, all over the country, being like, I got it. I want you to see it. I'm here for it. I'm loving all of that love and support. I had some amazing vendors I got to work with in this house, including the Shade Store, Anthropology, Lumens Lighting, an incredible list of Black-owned businesses are listed throughout the home tour as well. So I just want people to please pick it up. This home tour is so much more than just me. It's all of the people that I wanted to support and build up in this home tour as well. So I want you to check it out. Lastly, this Friday on May 6th, I am collaborating with Apartment Therapy for the Small Cool Experience. I am doing a discussion called Ask Me Anything, and we're just going to be talking about interior design, just to be clear, but it'll be May 6th, 2 to 4 p.m. at 515 Broadway in Soho. So I hope to see some of you guys there in person. I'd love to talk all things interior design under the sun, and I hope to see you. Remember to continue to subscribe and share with your friends and family. Get outside, have some fun, and stay safe. All right, bye-bye.